asking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and the 20th verse. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and the 20th verse. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. These blessed truths that are set before us here are gracious exhortations given by the Holy Spirit through Moses to the children of Israel, and they are vital today. We looked a little this morning at the first two gracious exhortations, and may we lay them to heart from this day onwards. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. That is the first commandment here in this text. And may it be a commandment to each of our hearts as we venture on from this day. And then the second was this, that thou mayest obey his voice. Ever be obedient to what the Lord says. The hymn writer said, listen to what the Saviour saith, and we need grace to follow that. But then, and I want to leave those first two for your prayerful meditation, much could be said, but then let us come to the third, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. You know, this is a wonderful occupation, isn't it? Cleaving unto him, cleaving unto the Lord. It's like, to use a simple natural illustration, like a little child in its early days will so cleave to its dear mother, won't it? And why does it cleave to her? Well, first, because of its love to her, its affections toward her. And secondly, it will cleave to her because it has confidence in her. And this is what the Lord will give to his dear people, that heavenly confidence to cleave to him. And then it will cleave to her because it knows it's safe with her. It can trust her. And she does everything for it, feeding it, helping it, undertaking for it. And think about it far greater so, the spiritual illustration is not that the same as in the natural side? Oh, to be cleaving close to Christ. You see, we're on dangerous ground like the little child is if it goes far from its mother. It's open to dangers, isn't it? The hymn writer said, dangers of every shape and form. And think of that in your soul and mine. Oh, to be living close, cleaving to Him. Because if we go away from Him, we're in danger, aren't we? We're soon drawn aside by Satan or our own deceitful hearts or the world. It's a dangerous place. It's like it says in the prophecy of Hosea concerning a lamb in a large place, and that's a dangerous place for a lamb to be, and it needs to be close to its mother. Otherwise, it's open to all dangers, isn't it? That thou mayest cleave unto him. And this was Moses' longing and desire for these dear people, that they might be cleaving to the Lord. We read in the lesson, of course, that beautiful illustration. I hinted at it concerning Ruth in another way this morning. But you look how we read concerning her that when Orpah went back and to her gods and to her people, what did Ruth do? She clave unto Naomi. Oh, may you, dear young ones and dear children, be cleaving to the Lord's people, and may we each, and not do anything to mar that cleaving. We read concerning many precious characters, not just Ruth in the Word, but others that really clave close to the Lord. But you see, there's some other things I just want to briefly hint at here, and that is we need to cleave to the old paths. You know, it's something the Lord has burnt in my heart for years. Not to turn to lightness or anything that's pleasing to the flesh, but cleave to the old paths, to the narrow way. Because that is the right way and God's way. And then we need to cleave close, don't we, to the people of God. Keep close to them, you see. Listen to, we were favoured with it much in our early days. There seems so little of it today, but you know, there were such godly characters, weren't there, in our chapels that you clave close to. And I think in my early days, many of them, I used to go and visit the dear old saints, you know. And we just went and we sat and listened to what they spoke of what the Lord had done for them. And we could cleave close to them because they were the very things that our soul desired. And there's a real cleaving then, isn't it? A knitting together, you see. I used to feel I knew so little, but you know, as we listened to them, was that in our hearts that clave to them. But then, a cleaving to God's holy word. You know, it doesn't matter what situation we come into, whether it's in Providence or in our families or in the Church of God or in our souls. Oh, you go to the Word of God. Keep close to that. So many times when we've been in crisis times and my wife and I have talked it over and we have come to this conclusion on so many times. Now, what does the Word of God say about it? Cleave to the Word, you see, because we'll never go wrong if we cleave close to that. What does the Lord say? But then too, there's a cleaving to God's house. We see in this solemn day, and we don't have to remind you, but we see throughout Zion such a departing from the house of God. But you find with Ruth and with Caleb and Joshua, they clave close, and David particularly, to the house of God, didn't they? And why did they cleave there? Because the Lord was there. And they clave to his house to hear what he had to speak. And we find this gracious exhortation. Some of you may have come today and say, Lord, what shall we do? Oh, that thou mayest cleave unto him. Not in any way depart from him, but cleave close. We find concerning dear Ruth, you see, she clave close to the handmaidens of Boaz, didn't she? Oh, she did. You know, when the Lord directed her to the field of Boaz, she clave close to Boaz, and she clave close to his handmaids. And oh, in that field she was wonderfully blessed, wasn't she? Look at the handfuls of purpose that were dropped. It's a wonderful thing when there are those handfuls of purpose dropped, aren't they? I think of your late beloved pastor. He used to so often lovingly say this, didn't he? May I drop a few handfuls of purpose. You see, those gleaners, they were favoured to glean, but you know, there were those handfuls of purpose that they gleaned. And there were times, you know, under the ministry or the reading the word, there would be these handfuls of purpose that will drop. And their purpose for the souls of those that are in need, you see, like she was. So let us lay to heart this third exhortation, and I preach this much to myself today. And that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Now, beloved friends, could it be said concerning you and concerning me, for he is thy life. Now, who was he speaking of? The Lord himself, a precious Jesus. We think first of all of the dear Apostle Paul, what he said to the Philippian church. He said, for me, and don't forget it, for me to live is Christ. You know, he got nothing else to live for, really. For me to live is Christ. You know, our days on earth, each of us may be short, and they are compared with eternity, aren't they? But how do we live? Do we live for Christ? Is he thy life? We read here, he said, therefore, and we looked at this morning, choose life. And where does that life for the child of God flow from? It flows from none other than the Lord Jesus himself, because he is the life of the real child of God. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And oh, think of the apostle, if ever a man lived for Christ, he did. In all his sufferings and agonies the apostle had to go through, it was all for Christ's sake. We know there are times we will suffer for our sin, but oh, to suffer for his dear name's sake. to live as the apostle did, for me to live is Christ. And he said, for he is thy life. He is thy life. Could it be said concerning you and concerning me today, for he is thy life? But then we think of that beautiful word the dear apostle spoke to, for your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, what a blessing it would be today if the Lord whispered that to some poor needy soul, for your life is hid with Christ in God. If your life is hid in him, poor soul, you'll be safe for time and eternity, and it won't matter what onslaughts the devil may come in what forms he may come in. You never destroy this soul whose life is hid with Christ in God. They're safe in Christ, you see. Their life is hid in him. And nothing can touch this soul, you see. There's the eternal safety. For he is thy life. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, this will really melt your heart and mind if he whispers this to you today, for your life. Not somebody else's, it's your soul. Your life is hid with Christ in God. The devil may do all he can with all the powers of hell to try and destroy this soul, but he never will. You look how far he went with Legion, but he couldn't destroy him, could he? But you look what happened when those devils went forth into the swine. They all ran down into a steep place into the lake and were choked, 3,000 of them. And that's how many devils there were in the man, but they couldn't destroy Legion, could they? But they did the swine. And why? Because that dear man's life was hid with Christ in God. For he is thy life. But then we think too of those beautiful words of the dear Saviour himself to his dear troubled disciples. Just before he went to Calvary. And he said to them, because I live, ye shall live also. You see, he was their life, wasn't he? You think how they walked and served him and obeyed him, those dear disciples, he was their life. People, as I said this morning about occupation, you know, one may say, well, this is my occupation and that's somebody else's. And they're right in the things of time and we have to venture in them to earn the bread that perisheth. But, oh, look at it above all that. Could it be said concerning you and concerning me that the dear Lord Jesus is thy life? For me to live is Christ. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. And then too, he's the bread of life. You read John chapter 6. He's the bread of life to sinners. They feed upon him, you see. The life flows through him into their souls. He's thy life. And when we think of dear Mr. Popham, as we hope to go to Brighton this evening, I often think of the dear man, how many years he preached. Was it not 78 years? And his life was to preach Christ to sinners. And you think of all that long life of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And how could he preach it? Because Christ was his life. Everything he needed flowed through a precious Jesus. The preaching of the cross, you see, was to the Jews and the Greeks, wasn't it? Foolishness. But to them that believe, he is the power of God. For he is thy life. Oh, may the Holy Spirit grant us grace to walk this out, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. So the message really in this cleaving is, for he is thy life, it is keeping close to the dear Redeemer. What does the hymn writer say? Nearer, nearer to him clinging. Oh, that's a good prayer, isn't it? May the Lord teach us to pray. Lord, help us to cling close to thee and to thy word. Why, that our souls might know nearness, you see. His mercy, his compassion, his divine favour. Be under his smile. Be fed by him, be nourished by him. You think of Joseph, it comes to one's mind, so I name it. When he was down in Egypt and had the keys of all the storehouses of Egypt, and you look how he was used, like the dear Redeemer, as a beautiful type of Christ, to nourish those, even the brethren that had persecuted and hated him. And oh, many of us in our unregenerate days persecuted and hated him, but oh, he was to nourish them. I remember preaching at Bethel Luton many years ago now on Thursday evening, from those precious words in Genesis, I will nourish you and your little ones. And I had a letter from dear Mrs. Rich. She's now in glory, and you know, afterwards, and she wrote so sweetly to me. She said, you know, that word was life and power to me. She said, I felt where you preached it would carry me through to the grave and to glory. I will nourish them and your little ones. And you see, she said, I had faith to believe it wasn't just for me, it was for my offspring as well, that he would nourish them. But I'll leave that. He says, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. You know, it's a wonderful word, this is, isn't it? None of us know the length of our days. How long it will be with us. How long we will be here. The length of our days. That's all in the Lord's hand. And he says here, he is thy life and the length of thy days. It's all in his hand, you see. But the words of the hymn writer come into one's heart. While our days on earth are lengthened, may we lend them, Lord, to thee. Not live as though, as the world do, or the ungodly do, but the length of our days may be ever seeking the Lord, ever serving him, ever worshipping him. He is thy life and the length of thy days. Now, what it really sets before us in my little understanding of this is this. While the length of our days, that he might be thy life through the rest of thy days here. And then, of course, when we come to the end of the life, to be with him without a veil between in glory. And then he says that thou mayest dwell in the land. Now, of course, he was speaking of Canaan, which the Lord had promised. He goes on to speak of it, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that they would all dwell in the land of Canaan. And what a mercy it is, they are all landed in the heavenly Canaan. And this is where the soul that walks this text out and lives this text out, they live in the heavenly Canaan. Or they will. There's this wonderful prospect, you see, that thou mayest dwell in the land. They were to inhabit the land, to dwell there. And this was the promise the Lord gave them. And may we have sealed home into each of our hearts today that sweet assurance that we will be landed safe on Canaan's happy shore. Wonderful prospect, isn't it? And it was promised to Abraham, and the Lord fulfilled it. It was promised to Isaac, the Lord fulfilled it. It was promised to Jacob, and the Lord fulfilled it. That they should dwell in the land. But just a word in another direction in this, that thou mayest dwell in the land. You think of dear Ruth, how she dwelt with Naomi, dwelt with the people of God, and how David dwelt in the house of God, and all that we might dwell among his people. The hymn writer said, didn't he, "There my best friend," speaking of Zion, "my kindred dwell, there God, my Saviour, reigns." Now, in conclusion, we have this beautiful word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. And then he says, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. There are two vital things here. First of all, the Lord sware this beautiful promise. And what the Lord swears to his people, he will fulfill. Oh, he will. Well, it's a promise for life, and especially the promise for death. Like the dear Shunammite woman said, when Gehazi said to her the words of the prophet, what he spoke to him, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thine husband? Is it well with the child?" And she said, "It is well." And may we have that sweet assurance. And not only that, she was enabled to say, "I dwell among mine own people. I dwell among mine own people." But the other point that was set forth here, he promised to give them this blessed land. We sing in the hymn, don't we? There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. Infinite day excludes the night and sorrows banish pain. Now, we think of this. He promised to give them. Now, what the Lord promises to give his people, he will. We may promise we'll give this or that, but you know, many things come so we're not able. But what the Lord promises, and when he promises to give them, well, my mind goes to that beautiful word in John chapter 10, which Jesus said concerning his sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me," and then listen. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Well, may the blessed Holy Spirit seal this sacred word into your hearts and mine, that it might live in us, and that we may be given grace to walk it out continually. For his name's sake, amen.